Good morning, everybody. It's good to see all of you here this morning. We have, as has been the case, will be all summer, I guess. We have people who are gone. We need to remember them. We need to remember Steve as he goes through that procedure, that it'll turn out good. But we're glad that you're here. Glad to have all of you here today. It's good to see you. This is what we call sometimes in society Father's Day, and I want to talk a little bit about that, what the Bible has to say about it. Not in trying to imply that those who are fathers in the audience may not know some of the things they'll do. It doesn't hurt us to reiterate these things, and maybe those of you who are ladies can teach your children while they're at home, or maybe teach your grandchildren, particularly the males, what it means to be a father and how they ought to be fathers. We'll talk about fathers in our daily life, how they use in our daily life. This evening, if we can still meet in here, it's not too hot, we're going to talk about the example of an ideal father. We're going to look at somebody who was ideal from the Bible. We're going to look at that. In Luke, the first chapter, in verse 17, Jesus Christ is of course, upon the earth, but John the Baptist is who this passage is talking about. And it's talking about he'll go before Christ in spirit and in the power of Elijah. And one of the purposes of John the Baptist was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. So the Bible does say that those who were teachers of the Word of God, that they had a responsibility to talk to fathers and to tell fathers what they were to do in reference to their children. So we're going to talk about godly fathers this morning. That's what we're going to talk about. Well, godly fathers, when we look at the Bible, not only teach their children how maybe to fish or to hunt or maybe to mow the grass and things of that nature and maybe to take over the business, which are all well and good and things to do since they live in this life. But godly fathers also seek to teach their children or speak about biblical principles. That's what they do. Things that come from the Bible. That's what godly fathers do. When I use the word godly here, what I'm talking about, folks, when I use the word godly here, I'm talking about somebody who is pious. Somebody who's pious, who really wants to do what they do in the presence of Almighty God. So his eyes are upon everybody in every place. So what they're wanting to do is as they serve the Lord, they want to be pious in regard to this. And they want to be the kind of father that they ought to be. Now today, a lot of fathers will be taken out to eat and all that kind of thing. Cards will be given to them. And well and good, all that's good. But the primary thing that fathers ought to be thinking about is whether or not I'm godly. And the proof of whether or not a person is godly is what they do. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, and also in verse 2, when Moses was writing about the law of commandments, he said, "The commandments I give you this day, and these commandments that I'm giving you today are to be upon your hearts, and you're to impress them on your children." Well, he's speaking to the fathers of the household here, the patriarchs, as we call them sometimes. And he's telling them, you talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk down the road. Well, obviously, you talk about them with your children, is what he's saying here. When you're walking down the road, when you're sitting at home, you talk about these things. When you lie down, when you get up. You talk about the principles of God, which means that the one who is a godly father has to have an understanding of what it means to be a godly father. He's going to have to understand biblical principles so he can do all of these things. It's interesting that he says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And the reason he says that is, don't forget them. These are important things that you need to know, and so do not forget them. Things that are very important. Sometimes what we do in life, don't we? We get a notepad and we write something on it, one of the little notes. We write it on it to remind us. And you go into some people's house and you look at their refrigerator and they've got notes all over to remind them of when their appointments are going to be or whatever they're going to do. We do that. Or maybe we have a daily planner and we do that. Or maybe we put it on our computer. And on the calendar, it tells us what we're going to do tomorrow and all that. We make plans for that. Well, that's what Moses is telling these people to do. You tie them as symbols on your hands. Well, if you've got something tied on your hand, you'll see it. You'll see it. And he says, bind them on your foreheads. Put them right there. So when you look in the mirror, you'll see what you're supposed to do. Write them, he says, on the door frames of your houses. You put it there. Sometimes when Marty and I are about to leave, we're going into the garage to get in the car. What we'll do ahead of time, we're going to have to take something with us. So we put a sticker on the door that we're going to open, and it tells us what to do. Like if we need ice or something like that, do that. And if we don't do that sometimes, we get clear where we're going. Well, we forgot to get the ice because we didn't put a sticker there. So the sticker is to remind us of those things. We write that on. So you put them on door frames of your house and on your gates so that you and your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God. That's the purpose of it. The biblical principles are there not only so that I can fear God, but my responsibility also is toward my children so that they can fear God and even their children after them will fear God. This reminds me of the progression that the Apostle Paul was talking about to Timothy, and we said, the things you receive from me among many witnesses, you commit to faithful men, and they'll in turn be able to teach others also. So he said, you receive something from me, you take it to heart, you teach it to others, and down the line, they'll teach it to somebody else. Well, that's exactly what Moses is talking about here. You take the things of God so that your children and the children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live. So what's he talking about here? A godly father teaches biblical principles. Always does that. The godly father does as long as he's alive. He's always an example of that. And I'll tell you something, fathers. That means that you still are, even after your children leave home. You can still be an example to them. Now, whether they follow it or not is another story. That's up to them. But your idea is you want to show biblical principles to your children wherever they are. And it starts when you're training them when they're at home. That's why Solomon said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. That's exactly what Moses taught. You do this, and your children after them will fear the Lord. And what we want as a father, we want them to fear the Lord at least as long as we live. We want them to fear the Lord longer than that. And they fear the Lord by keeping his decrees, verse 2 says, and commands that I give you so that you may enjoy long life. The idea here is that the father will be happy. He'll enjoy his life as his children are doing the things that they ought to do, and they're godly also. So what does a godly father do? Well, he follows the biblical principles that are found, like in Deuteronomy 6. But it's not just in the Old Testament. The New Testament teaches the same thing, only using different words. When Paul was writing, he said, fathers, talking specifically to the father, he said, don't provoke your children to wrath. Don't do that. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Well, isn't that what Moses is talking about? Deuteronomy 6? That the fathers ought to train their children, train them up the way they should go? Isn't that what he's talking about? But what godly fathers do, not only are they godly in the sense that they have pious, but godly fathers will speak Bible principles. That's what they do. Godly fathers speak Bible principles. That's what they do. And that's what we're talking about. They speak God Bible principles. They talk to their children. They train up their children in the way should go and in the admonition of the Lord. And as a result of that, godly fathers do. They admonish their children. That's what they do. We studied the word admonish last week in doing our word studies last Wednesday night. And we noticed that the word admonish sometimes means to put people in mind of something. Well, that's what godly fathers do. They put their children in mind of something. For instance, if you're working with a child and he wants to build a model plane and he doesn't know how to read the instructions, so you put them in mind. You read them to them and say, look, you need to do it. I'll tell you about it, but you need to do it with your own hands. It's like a person learning to use a computer. They're going to have to do it themselves. You could go in there and do it all for them, but they're not going to learn a lot unless they do it themselves. So what you do is say, well, you sit there and you do it, and if you need some help, I'll help you. And what the father does, he does that in life to his child. He does that in the physical realm. He tells the child, he shows the child how to maybe tie a tie if the child needs to have one. He tells him how to put on his pants. He does all these kinds of things. I know mothers do that too, but fathers do that. They take care of their children. They admonish their children. In Proverbs 23 in verse 26, the wise man said, "Give me your heart, my son." Well, of course, we're not going to be able to admonish anybody if they're not willing to listen, rather. And if they're willing to listen, then we can do that. So the first thing the child has to do is want to listen to the father. But I'll tell you something, little children do, don't they? Now, when they get a lot older, they may think they're wiser and so on until they get old enough to realize how smart the father was. But the fact of the matter is, when they're small, they listen because they want to learn. It's amazing how little children want to learn and how much you can teach them. So the wise man says, "Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways." What he's doing here is he's telling the son, listen to what I have to say and delight in what I'm trying to teach you. How many of us as adults today can look back and realize that I learned what I learned, and I'm using a lot of the things I learned because my father taught me? And yes, maybe my mother also, or grandmother or something. You've noticed the grandmother and the mother of Timothy, and they taught him, and that's why he had such great faith. But the fact of the matter is, we do a lot of things because they took time to teach us these things, and we put them into practice. So what Solomon is saying is, you delight in my ways, your eyes delight in my ways. You ever seen a child and their eyes just sparkle when dad does something for them? Of course. They love it. That's why children, even when they have their own families, a lot of times will send you a text on Father's Day, said, "Happy Father's Day, Dad. I got one of those today." That's what they do, because they remember what it was like to be at home. And it's a delight to be at home, and they like to come home and see you from time to time. That's what they like to do. This last week, Marty and I were in Oklahoma City for one day visiting with one of our grandsons who's in the Army, and he's been overseas, been deployed, and he's been in Iraq for a long time and done a lot of things which we'll not talk about. Had to do that to keep our country safe. But he flew home just for 3 days. And he said, "I'd like to see you, Daddy D." He calls me Daddy D. And calls her Mom, my mom. "I'd like to see you." And so we drove over there so he could see us. And he gave me a big hug and said, "I am so glad to be home, be able to see you." Well, that means a lot to the grandfather. It means a lot to you, doesn't it, when your son tells you something like that, or your grandson. But the fact of the matter is, they you see it in their eyes. It's delight to be around you. And that's the idea. Father wants to do whatever he does in a very pious way, in a very godly way. And he wants to admonish. He wants to put the principles before a person, to put it into their mind. And sometimes he has to warn. In Proverbs 4, verses 10 and 12, Solomon said, "Listen, my son, accept what I say." Now, this particular term in the Hebrew, "listen, my son," doesn't mean he's yelling at him. He's encouraging him. He's encouraging, admonishing him to listen to me, son, accept what I say. And the reason he says this, so your life may be many, your life, your years of your life may be many, he says. "I want you to live a long time. I want you to be happy in life." And then he says, "I guide you in the way of wisdom." Here's a father who's guiding his son. "I'll guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths." I'll do this. I'll show you these things that you can do. "So that when you walk, your steps will not be hampered, and when you run, you will not stumble." And that's what a father does. And in the spiritual realm, he certainly does this. He does it also in the physical realm. So what is Solomon saying? "Listen, my son, and accept what I have to say." And as I said a while ago, how many times we look back on our life and see that we accepted, maybe we resisted for a while, maybe we thought we were smarter than Dad for a while, but we realize as we mature that we weren't as smart as we thought that we were. And now we accept the principles of some of the things that the Father taught us, and it guides our way, it does, and it causes us in life not to be hampered, our steps not to be hampered, and keeps us from stumbling over things. "Well, Dad taught me that. He told me to watch this. He told me to be careful when there's a curb there, how I step off the curb. He told me all those things. How to be careful when I drive, and always to look, be aware of those that are around me," and all those kind of things. He taught me all those kind of things. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 21, the Apostle Paul put it like this. He said, "Take thought for things honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of all men. That is an admonishment to children. That's a warning to children, but it's to put into mind the child. Son, I want you to always think about things that are honorable and are right. I remember when my son was playing football at Arkansas, he called me at Arkansas, Monticello. He called me up on the phone one day and said, "Dad, they're trying to get me to do this so that the university won't have to pay so much on the scholarship." He said, I'm not sure that's right. Hey, what do you think? And that's what sons do a lot of times. They call the father and say, I need to know whether this is right or wrong. I need to know whether it's the right thing to do. Well, if you've taught your son things that are honorable, they're going to ask that question. And with the help maybe of the father, with some others, they're going to find out, well, this is either the honorable thing to do or not the honorable thing to do. You've set them up to teach them honorable things. And you want them not only to do what's right in the sight of the Lord, or honorable in the sight of the Lord, but you also want them to do what's right in the sight of men. And there's nothing wrong with a son asking a father a question about those things, because the son maybe not has lived through those things, not experienced those things before. But he knows there's something about this that I need to find out about. And sometimes just that little prick of principle that you put in them, as you've admonished them to be honorable in the sight of the Lord, tells them, well, there's something maybe not right about this, or maybe it is right, but I need to find out. And I'm going to do some research about that before I make a decision, before I allow that to happen in my life. Well, what does that mean? That means that godly fathers provide good instruction to their children. Now, some fathers don't do this. Some fathers are terrible examples to their children. We know that. Some fathers don't care enough about their children to do anything for them. There was a song that was sung about 10 years ago talking about a father. And the little boy, when the child was born, the little child wanted to do things to father, and father always said he was too busy. Remember that song? He was always too busy, but we'll do it sometime, son. Sometime, son. And as the son grew up, the son got to be about 10 years old. He had been given a ball, and he said, "Dad, play catch with me." And the father said, "Well, I would, son, but I am too busy. But we will someday, son. We'll do it someday." And then the son went off to college. And the father began to think about that he's going away from him. And the father said, "How about us spending some time together, son?" The son said, "No, Dad," said, I'm going to go be with my friends. "But we will sometime, Dad. And then the last verse of that song, the father has retired. He's getting old. And he calls the son. He said, "Son, I sure would like to see you." And the son, "I'd like to see you too, Dad, but my kids are this and my job is this. But we'll do it sometime, Dad. We'll do it someday." And the dad finally says, thinks of himself, looks in the mirror and said, "You know, my son is just like me. Just like me." Well, that's right. That's a sad song, really. Because here's a son that grew up without a father, basically. And here's a father now that's old in years and his son doesn't have time for him. But he's doing exactly what he was taught to do. Well, godly fathers produce good teaching, and they provide that good teaching to their children. In Acts 24 and verse 16, one of the things that is said in this passage is always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. So if a father's providing good teaching to his children, he's going to say, "Child, son, I want to tell you, always strive to have a good conscience. Always have a good conscience toward God and man. Don't ever violate the morals that you know." Now, you may learn something better sometime, but don't ever violate those morals that you know. Always have a good conscience. And you can live with yourself. In Colossians 3 and verse 23, again, the Apostle Paul's writing said, "Whatever you do, work it with all of your heart. As if you're working for the Lord and not for men." So what does a good father do? He teaches his son. Whatever you do, son, work it with all of your heart. In other words, put your whole self into it, your energy into it, your passions into it. as if you're working for the Lord and not for me. And that's the directive, really. What we do because we're in the presence of God. His eyes are on in everywhere, on every place. He sees everything we do. We're in the presence of God always, so let's always do what's right and what's honorable, as I said a while ago. And let's work what we do with all of our heart, with all of our energy, as we're working for the Lord and not just to be seen of men. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul said, finally, as if he's talking to, of course he's talking to Christians here, but as if you were talking to a son, you might say, finally, son, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any way to praise anything, think on these things. This is what to think about, son, as you live. There's nothing that gives a father more pleasure in life than to realize his children are faithful. And they're doing what they ought to do. So you teach your children these things. And good fathers do that. And moms, if you've got children at home or grandchildren, teach them these things. Tell them this is the way they ought to teach their children sometime. In Isaiah 1 and verse 17, Isaiah was writing, he said, learn to do right. Well, where do they learn that? Well, they may or may not learn something at school. They may or may not learn something from their best friends. They might not learn the right thing. And then again, they might learn something good. But he said, learn to do right. Seek justice, he said. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the father. Plead the case of the widow. This is what you're to do, Isaiah said. He's talking to, I know, to children of Israel, but this would be something that a godly father would provide in his teaching to his children. Son, always do what's right. Always seek to do justice. Always think about justice. Will this produce justice? Will this encourage somebody? Will this encourage the oppressed and the weak? And always be willing to defend the cause of those who are weak and those who are fatherless and the orphans and so on. And plead the cause of the widow. Don't take their houses like the Jews were doing in the Old Testament. You plead their cause. Again, in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, Moses said, take these commandments I give you, and you impress them on your children. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Impress. Impress them on your children. Sometimes we press something in it, or we make an impression. That's what he's talking about. Here's an impression. Here's an impression of the father. Here's a son that works and acts and talks and speaks and does like his father. Because that impression was put upon. People tell me sometimes that remember my father when he preached that I point the same way he did. And I say some of the same things he did. I may not be aware of it, but I picked it up from him. So he says, you impress these principles upon your children. That's what a godly father does. He provides good instruction to his children, and he impresses it upon his children. That's what he does. That's what a good father does. And how does he do that? Well, he begins early connecting with his children. Fathers never become so busy you don't have time for your son or your daughter. Don't ever get so busy you don't have time to spend with them. If you do, you're just too busy. We need to spend time when we're early with our children. We're taught by people that in the first 6 years of a child's life, that's when they set in motion most of the things they're going to do later. So don't waste those first 6 years. Don't try to catch up later. You may never be able to catch up. The godly father is one who wants to lovingly connect to his child's heart. That's what he wants, so that he can leave a legacy for them after he's gone. All fathers eventually, if the world continues to exist, will be gone someday. And then the children can look back, remember what the father did and what the father said. And that means we have to spend quality time with our children while we're at home. That's exactly what a godly father does. He provides for his children. Obviously, he provides physical things for his children, but the primary thing he provides is the spiritual acumen for his children. Those are godly fathers. That's the kind of father that all of us ought to be.